Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Tucker, normally your host and piano player for the Early Jazz Music Review, but today we're presenting a special program with Bob Taylor in the studio. Bob Taylor is well known as a resident in Colonial Beach, Virginia, previously a staff musician at the Grand Ole Opry in the late 1960s. He initially went to Nashville to be the drummer for Dottie West. He later managed Boots Randolph and all of his business properties and operated a quite successful commercial lawn care business. But before all that, he managed a place called Hunter's Lodge, located in Manassas and Centerville area, a music venue that was a big part of the country music scene and circuit back in the day, and he hired many of the big names in country music, including Johnny Paycheck and Willie Nelson and Dottie West and many more. Bob Taylor created and managed the house band at Hunter's Lodge, which was called the String Dusters, and long-forgotten recordings of that band were given to me recently. Today, Bob is going to listen to some of those recordings for the first time since they were made, and we'll get his reaction and comments. All the recordings we're going to hear today are from a brief period of time, December of 1965 into early 1966. All right, Bob, well, welcome to the show. What do you think of my introduction so far? Was I close?
You're spot on.
In listening to these recordings, your band used to have an introduction. It used to be kind of an opening theme song. And I'm going to play that for you right now. So, Bob, that was the introduction. What was there a name for that tune?
You know, I don't recall it. I'm sorry.
It sounds familiar. It might have been taken from something else, but I think you played that at the beginning and end of every set, or just every night.
Well, that's right. The beginning and ending of each set. So, well, if we had four sets in a night, they are subject to hear that four times.
Wow. Well, it's a catchy tune, and you hear this across all your recordings that I've gone through so far.
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe Sonny Garish, my steel player, wrote that, I think.
The String Dusters at the time, and we're looking at, we're going to be playing tunes and recordings that were all made in a very short amount of time at the end of 1965. And Roy Self was the front man and rhythm guitar and lead. Paul and Ray were the fiddlers, and they were brothers. What was their last name?
Paul and Roy Justice.
Justice, that's right. And then you had Sonny Garish on steel guitar, and he later on went to work for Bill Anderson. You had another steel guitar player come in, Rudy, right?
Rudy Gabrieletto.
Okay. And both of these were very good. And this period of time that we're going to be listening to, Sonny is kind of at the beginning, and we hear the transfer to Rudy a little bit later. And then you had Carl Smith on bass. Is that right?
Yes.
Carl Smith at this time. And then Bob Taylor on drums.
Yes.
All right. So let's go back to December 3rd, 1965. We're going to hear an instrumental. I think Roy Self is playing this as a lead guitar. We're going to hear Almost to Tulsa. We'll be right back. All right, we just heard Almost to Tulsa. Pretty strong band, Bob. You should be proud of yourself. And these recordings just get better as we go along. And we're not sure who is playing the lead guitar. It's somebody that you had in the band at the time.
I'll come up with the name in a little bit.
Okay. We're going to continue with the same date. We're going to hear from December 3rd, 1965. We're going to hear Honky Tonk Girl, and I Don't Know Why I Keep Loving You, with Roy Self on the vocals. This that second recording is a little bit overmodulated on the mic, but it'll be a pleasure to listen to. Here is Honky Tonk Girl, and I Don't Know Why I Keep Loving You.
Don't be fooled by big blue eyes, by a smile or a golden curl, for she'll love you now and then break every vow, 'cause she's just a honky-tonk girl. Don't be fooled by kisses or arms that hold you tight. There will be another in her arms tomorrow night. Hearts are toy tops to her. She likes to watch them whirl, 'cause she's just a honky-tonk girl. Can never change her ways, though you give her all the world. She's had more than one or two, and each day there's someone new, 'cause she's just a honky-tonk girl. Breaking hearts to her is just a way of having fun. She thinks every man's a fool, and you're another one. Hearts are toy tops to her. Oh, she likes to watch them whirl, 'cause she's just a honky-tonk girl. Loving you.
you do. I know if this keeps up, you'll be my ruin. But I don't know why I keep loving you. I keep waiting for the change that I've waited for so long. The change that means that you will love me too. But I know from the past there'll be no changing. And I don't know why I keep loving you.
Bob, that is amazing. Just listening to this makes me emotional. I can see that you're emotional about this, and some of the comments we were making to each other just personally while this was playing was amazing. The bass player was so good. Your drum playing, that shuffle, is a sound that hardly anybody knows how to make anymore. It's a vintage Nashville early 60s, you know, it's vintage country now. It's hardly anybody knows how to do that. You've got dual fiddlers playing. You've got a good vocal. It's just a really rock solid sound, and the steel guitar is as good as, you know, you can ever hear in that time. What do you think? What's it like for you?
It's like old times. The fiddlers were brothers.
Yeah.
And one was quite a bit younger than the other, but they just played facing each other on stage, and they just seemed to know every note that was going to come out next. They just had that ability to communicate like that.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens between musicians on stage. You have a way of communicating through your music, and just by looking at each other and little hand signals. If they're brothers, it's even better. They don't even have to say any words. When I started listening to these recordings, I could not believe how good this band is. And it's a sound, it's a style that nobody is playing anymore. They might try to recreate it, but this type of music, this sound that you got out of this band, it's kind of a Western swing sound because of the electric guitars and all, and the rhythm. You just can't find this anywhere, and it's just fun to hear this again.
We did this 6 years together, so we were very, you know, we were familiar with the tunes, of course, very familiar with the tunes, and also changed musicians, let's see, at two or three different times. Not the entire band, but occasionally I would change one. The last 3 years that we had the band was pretty much this same musicians all the way through. At one point, the first fiddle player I had was Chubby Wise of the Grand Ole Opry, and of Grand Ole Opry fame, I should say. And of course, he was so well known all over the country. But it was a funny little story how it came about. It came a time for him to leave the band in Nashville. He was playing with one of the artists there, and he stepped up to the microphone one day and longbowed that fiddle and knocked this man's toupee off right during showtime.
Wow.
So it wasn't long after before Chubby then came to Washington and was on the radio station, and someone else called me and reminded me that day that he was on at the time, and I called out to the radio station and got him to come out. And Chubby was with me probably a year and a half, maybe. It could have been a little longer, and he was such a well-known fiddle player all over the country.
Okay, we're going to move ahead a little bit in time. There was a period of time where Sonny Garish, your steel guitar, went off to work for Bill Anderson, who's still around. I just saw that he did a Veterans Day TV show. So he's still out there working, and you brought in Rudy as a new steel guitar player, and we've got the first night recordings of Rudy. So this is a live recording in the Hunter's Lodge. Place is packed. You can hear a lot of people. And we're going to hear Rudy with the band play a hot dance number, clearly a dance number. And this is the Double Eagle and Gathering Flowers.
Hope you folks came out last Saturday night, had a big time with all the boys here picking for you. Nice to have you back again here tonight. Right now it's Paul Jones' time, and Shorty will be kind enough to come up and blow the whistle. Poor Shorty's got laryngitis tonight, so don't ask him to sing, because he's just got such bad laryngitis. He's just gonna blow the whistle for you on the Paul Jones, and if the Justice Brothers are kicking off for us, we'll get you good and going. It's Paul Jones time, everybody. Grab your partner and let her go.
Wow, that was amazing. You were telling me while we were listening that that was one of your most popular dance numbers, and you were telling me that the location there, Hunter's Lodge, had a very large dance floor. So it was known as a dance venue, live music. Tell me about the dance itself, what the whistle was all about.
Well, the whistle was with the Paul Jones, and we used that as a signal for them to get in the circle again and circle the boys one way and the girls the next, the other direction. And then when the whistle blew again, you danced with whoever was in front of you at the time.
Wow, that's exciting.
And so it was very popular in that we had so many single fellas and gals that came, and they just thoroughly enjoyed that particular dance.
We're going to listen to a few more recordings from that day, that night. We believe this was the middle of December 1965. Next, we're going to hear Panhandle Rag, which is an instrumental. And I note that it has very good bass line, really good bass playing and drums in this Panhandle Rag. And then after that, a surprise for you, Bob. I found a recording of you singing. Okay? We're going to hear Bob Taylor sing Things I Might Have Been.
I'm sure that most of you here tonight, if you weren't here last night, have noticed a new face on the bandstand. And we'd like to just take a moment to introduce him to you. We think we were real lucky to get hold of this guy. I've known him for a long, long time. There's not too many steel guitar players in the country working today that can give him any trouble on that steel guitar. We think an awful lot of him. And on top of it, he's about the finest fella that you'd ever want to run into. We knew he was going to have to come up with a good one to replace Sonny Garris. Sonny was fine. He was the greatest. Sonny's working with Bill Anderson now. As maybe some of you don't know that. Sonny's last week with us. But to replace him on the steel guitar, have a nice hand, a big Hunter's Lodge welcome for Rudy Gavrileta. Rudy. And don't mention his bald head. He hates that. He just can't stand it. Talk about anything but that bald head. He's going to take that bald head and bop me in my fuzzy head one of these days. Here's Rudy and all the gang with a little bit of the Panhandle Rag. Let it go, Rudolph. For Rudy Gavrileta and a real great job by Rudy, and he's going to be a real welcome addition to this bunch of guys. He's about as crazy as the rest of us. If he ain't, he will be for too long. In fact, I think he might have the edge on us. I'm not sure about that, but here's Bob Taylor to sing you a mighty pretty tune. This is a song that we talked with Wade Ray last night about. Wade was telling us where he picked it up many, many years ago, and a lot of folks have recorded this. And Bob sings it real pretty. It's called The Things I Might Have Been.
Mm-hmm. a soul with nothing much in store. I might have been without a goal, just dreams and nothing more. I might have known a life alone, but that's where you came in. Your loving arm has saved me from the things that might have been.
Well, Bob, what do you think of that?
I'm pleased to hear it after all of these years. And yeah. It was, I think I was trying to sort of imitate the style of Willie Nelson.
Yeah, Willie Nelson, who kind of sang behind the beat back then. He still does. He developed his own style.
Right.
And in 1965, he was still just going around, and you had hired him, right?
Yes, I brought him in for a weekend.
We determined while we were listening to it that the lead guitar on the previous piece was Jack Ledbetter, right?
Yes,
he was one of your
Jack
lead guitarists.
My original, who was sometimes a radio announcer, he helped me put the band together when we started. And it was a hard thing to do, but I needed a guitar player that could keep up with a steel guitar player. Sonny Garish was just the finest. And even today, to my knowledge, today, Sonny and I are the only two living members of the band.
Do you know where he is? Is he still working?
Yes, he's in Nashville and lives in Hendersonville, I believe, with a big home with his. He had a wife and one small child.
Wow.
At the time, the child was small.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's very grown now.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move forward. We're going to go into another set of recordings, which is quite a bit unusual. Back in December of 1965, Tomcat Reeder was a DJ in Centerville. And later on, he spent 20 years at WAMU Radio in D.C. featuring bluegrass. He was well known for that. But for a few years, he produced a live country music TV program, WOOK TV, Channel 14 in Washington, D.C. They used to do a live teenager dance show every day at 5 o'clock for 6 days a week. The Tomcat Reader would go in and do a Saturday country music show. And your band appeared there several times. And we're going to play some recordings from that. This is from December 10th, 1965. And in this first set, we're going to hear a piece, I think it's called 811 or A11.
A11.
A11. And then they're going to bring in a guest. His name is Johnny Dollar. Not the old radio show guy, but Johnny Dollar, the Washington, D.C. musician. He's going to play for you Don't Get Tired of Hurting Me. And then we're going to hear a Sonny Garish feature, Buzz Bounce. Here we go.
Welcome to our little country music show here on Channel 14 tonight on this wonderful Saturday. We got a great program lined up for you. We hope you'll enjoy. And here to get the program underway with the great String Dusters, Roy Self's going to do the first number. And it's a tune made famous by Johnny Paycheck, who for a long time worked with the George Jones Show. And now he's on his own singing country music all over the country. Here's a tune called A11. Roy Self and the String Dusters. Take it away, Roy.
Just came in here from force of habit. I don't plan to spend too much time in here. But I saw you heading for the jukebox. And if you play A11, there'll be tears. Now I don't know. This used to be our favorite night spot, and when she was here, it was heaven. It was here she told me that she loved me, and she always played A11. Now I don't know.
That's Roy Self singing for us, a little tune called A11 here on the program tonight, kicking things off with a real fine job. Roy, thank you very much, old buddy. And on the program tonight, we've got a great guest with us who hails from the great state of Texas and Oklahoma. They each claim him. Oklahoma claims he's from Texas. Texas claims he's from Oklahoma. But he does a fine job of singing. And Washington, D.C. claims him. And someone in Washington claimed all of his clothes when he first got here. But anyway, he's with us, and we're happy to have him. He records for Columbia Records. Let's make welcome Johnny Dollar. How about that? What'd you call it? 50?
You make my eyes run over all the time. And you're happy when I'm out of my mind. Still I keep coming back. How can this be? Don't you ever, ever get tired
of hurting me. You must think I look bad with a smile, for you haven't let me have one in such a long, long while. Still I keep on coming back. How can this be? Won't you ever get tired of hurting me?
Oh, no.
Accused of this. Johnny Paycheck and a few others.
Is your real name Johnny Dollar?
Yes, sir, it is. As a matter of fact, it's been proven.
That's a good name. I like the money name. Johnny, it's a real pleasure to have you with us on the show.
Tom, you got a good thing started here, and I know the folks are going to like the good country music that you boys put out. The wonderful band.
They sure are. The String Dusters. They're out at Hunter's Lodge every Friday and Saturday.
I'm going to visit with them out there tonight.
Come out and visit with them.
Sure will.
They'll be there from 9 o'clock right on up until late tomorrow morning.
Invite everybody that wants to come out and see us.
Johnny, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Come back to see us again real soon.
Sure will, partner.
That's Johnny Dollar. We'll have him back on the program a little later on tonight, and he'll be doing his brand new record. He records for the Columbia People, does a great job of singing. That boy's going to be around for a long time, we certainly hope. He's moving to Washington, and we'll be using him quite a bit. We're going to move along and bring on a boy on the steel guitar over here who does a fine job, and he's been with the String Dusters, as Roy tells me, for a long, long time, a little over a year now, and we're gonna have him do one for you called Bud's Bounce. Sonny Garish on the steel guitar. Sonny?
Thank you.
All right, Bob, what do you think of all that? I think that was amazing. Still, I just can't get over how good this band was. It really was a good, good group, a good dance band.
I think there was a different steel player than other than Sonny on that particular tune. It didn't sound like Sonny to me.
Okay.
But we played that song at the club at times. This is a Phil type song.
It's a good dance number.
Yeah. For folks who like to fast dance, you know, it was a good number.
Some of the best comments between us are while we're listening to the music. But you were telling me a little bit about Johnny Dollar and a few other people.
Yes, they. I could hire them fairly reasonable because they. They were just coming along, and they like most any songster of that time. They would they'd have a certain point in their career that they would consider them pretty hot then, but it was usually short-lived.
Yeah.
Some of those guys.
You were telling me that Johnny Dollar had about 9 months of fame. I looked him up online. He made about 5 LPs out of Nashville, so he did something pretty well. And you were talking a little bit about Johnny Paycheck. What do you know about him, your time with
him?
He
used to come and spend 3 or 4 days at the club when he would come by. Sometimes he didn't come to that because of an appearance at the club. He would just be in the Washington area. He would come out before we would close on a Saturday night and make arrangements with me to let the steel player stay set up and anyone else that wanted to work with him. And and he loved to write new songs. And he had, in fact, he wrote one once, and the name slips me right now, but he thought it was so good that he wanted his manager to hear it. Well, his manager was in New York, and we were in Fairfax, Virginia. I paid for him a ticket and bought him a change of clothes, and then I went with him then to New York. And when we got there and went in the office of his manager, we didn't have a very warm welcome. I mean, it was it was pretty ugly there for a little bit. And he was so upset with Paycheck because he had spent this time trying to write a song at my place, in my club in Fairfax. And I guess he and Sonny worked together 2 or 3 days there on the thing. Within 18 months, anyway, I don't recall the song right now, but within 18 months, he did get it cut and it was put on national radio.
Wow.
So his manager was possessive type. He didn't want anybody else messing with his artist, you know. And he thought I was, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was Paycheck's idea, not mine. I didn't.
And you worked with Paycheck at the Grand Ole Opry? Were you both there at the same time?
I don't think so. I think he was there occasionally, but I probably was on the road with someone else at the time.
Okay. We're going to continue with this recording. One more section of music. This is from December 10, 1965 at WOOK-TV, Channel 14, the Tomcat Reader Country Music Time Show. They're going to play for you She's Just a Whole Lot Like You with Roy Self on the vocals.
All right, welcome back to more country music here on the Tom Reader Country Music Time tonight. And, of course, pay attention to what those good folks had to say. I know it's real good advice. We've got Roy Self to do a number, another Hank Thompson tune, She's Just a Whole Lot Like You. Before we do this, Roy, let's introduce the boys in the band again. Last night we did it, but let's do it again to make sure everybody knows them and recognizes who they are. Let's start over here on the steel guitar. You want to tell
us?
Well,
why not? Let's start with Sonny. He did such a fine job on that last number. Folks, Sonny Garris, a young man that we think just does a great job. We hope you enjoy his playing. I'm sure you do. Let's go around the horn real quickly. Tom, we've got a boy on the bass fiddle with a famous name. He has such a famous name. His name is George Washington. That's the wrong one. No, his name is Carl Smith, our bass man. He's not the one that cost all the money. He's the one that works with us. and he's costing more money all the time. Back on the drums, the leader of the band, the fellow that put the band together, two or three years ago, we think a lot of Bob Taylor. And Bob, stand up and take a bow. I'll show him your pretty new black britches. Yep, back on the twin fiddles now, if you'll switch around and catch these two boys. They hail from down in the great metropolis of Fort Payne, Alabama. And Tom, you're from Alabama. I'm sure you passed through Fort Payne.
I think I mentioned that last night, Roy.
Many times. It's I think the population is about 350 altogether. And when Roy and Paul Justice left, it dropped down a big chunk. Roy and Paul Justice, the Fiddlin' Justice Brothers. My name is Roy Self. As Tom told you, let's try a little bit of a thing called She's Just a Whole Lot Like You. I found you again in somebody new. Sort of like old times, doing things we used to do. She's just about your size, that same look in her eyes. Yes, she's just a whole lot like you. But I'll never tell her she's like my used to be. Never want to hurt her the way that you hurt me, because I know she loves me just like you used to do. And she's just a whole lot like you. Like you used to do a million years ago when our love was fresh and new. I see you when she walks, I hear you when she talks. She's just a whole lot like you. Somehow I have found a way to be with someone like someone in my dreams. The reason that I love her, I'm still in love with you. And she's just a whole lot like you. She's just a whole lot like you.
All right, Bob Taylor, we've been listening to the String Dusters from 1965. Bob, I still can't believe how good this band was, and I certainly appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else you want to say about the band? We can talk all night about this.
Well, of course, I'm prejudiced. I think it approached being, it wasn't number one in the country, but yet it had the quality of the old Bob Wills band, I think.
Yeah, I think it was very close to Bob Wills. Not as big
very
a band.
Close.
But
I mean, Bob was using about 12 to 15 players, mm-hmm. and I was using less than that. But it still, I'm very proud of it, and was very proud to have served with them for that length of time.
Well, Bob, I've really enjoyed doing this with you, and I'm so glad you could hear this music for the first time, and we figured about 60 years since you heard these recordings. I'm just glad that we could do this. If the listeners out there would like to hear more of this, maybe we could produce a short series of shows featuring the String Dusters. your band that played at Hunter's Lodge. It's now famous. There's people in town here that still talk about Hunter's Lodge. I'm sure you've got fond memories of the place.
Yes, I do. And I should mention to you that we did have the opportunity to play out occasionally.
Uh-huh.
And I had the band on in New York and also on the Wheeling Jamboree.
Oh, wow.
On one Saturday night there. We could hold our own to do that type of, that quality.
Yeah, well, many of your musicians ended up in Nashville.
Oh, yes, that's very true. Of the original band, I think all but two of them wound up in Nashville.
And you were going about your business, and Dottie West had come through. She asked you to join her in a new band that she was forming, and that brought you to Nashville, and the rest was history, right?
That's right.
Well, we're going to close this out, and I hope that we can do this again. I'm just thrilled that we could do this together. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Bob Taylor and myself, Dave Tucker, going back in time, 1965, and the String Dusters Band that played at Hunter's Lodge. And they played there from about 1962 to 1966. Please pass the word about this music. We'd like to do it again. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
I see our time is all come and gone, fellas. Could we have a little theme song and say goodbye to the folks? Let's go. Goodbye. May the good Lord take a lot of you. And you know what? I hope you live as long as you want. Live as long as you live. Bye-bye now.